You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid, and a very brief but filled episode at that. So it's a brief episode because not everything is in full, or not all segments are fully hashed out like normal. So it'll be the usual theme news, in this case a device review. I did watch a few things, but I'm not going to be focusing on one specific movie or TV show this time around, but I will talk about the one new movie that I did watch. And then no Star Wars profile for this particular week, just because I didn't really have much time to look into what match up, and I figured since it's more of a catch-up episode that I would keep it brief for this time around. You can relax segment, since it's more of a follow-up to last week's, you can relax. As far as the device review goes, I figured I would skip it for this time around. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So this week's theme is Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So in recent years, a lot of people have said that it's gone over the top, so I figured I would talk or cover what their origins are in case you're not quite sure how they came about or why it's such a prevailing shopping or something that prevails as far as the shopping trends go in recent years. So Black Friday is traditionally the first day in the shopping season during the holiday season at the end of the year, where retailers start drawing a profit for the year. So it became something where retailers would start marking down prices on old inventory and things that they wanted to clear out. But on the flip side, as a positive side effect, that they started drawing a profit as well, because all of those old items were trying to get cleared out. And then it would draw more customers in than usual, and because it was the holidays and people are buying gifts and shopping and that sort of thing, they would also make additional sales. So they would start making a profit, or at least companies that were not necessarily going to make a profit would start making profits and also show additional or higher sales than they normally would. So that's kind of how Black Friday started. Now it's gone into Black Friday week, Black Friday deals, Black Friday month, and all of that excessive stuff that is kind of more on the marketing side as far as promoting deals and things like that to draw customers to stores and websites and things like that. But basically that's kind of the origin of how Black Fridays became more very prevalent. And then in a related term, Cyber Monday is a term that started or that came about as more of a pure marketing term to drive online sales and promotions, and to keep it separate from Black Friday deals, it became the first Monday after that Black Friday. So that way deals would come out that Monday, and if you are an online shopper or you prefer to buy stuff online, that websites that were either pure online retailers or stores that have websites would try to drive additional sales online as a way of continuing the Black Friday promotions as well. So that's kind of how they came about, and then various special promotions may come about as well that would otherwise not have been considered during this period. So maybe accessories, cell phones, clothing, home goods, repair tools, anything you might think of, whatever you might not otherwise have gotten a deal, are generally promoted and given a discount during this period. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the tech news. So to start it off, Yahoo Answers is now available as an iOS app. So if you like to ask your questions or browse Yahoo Answers on your mobile device, then it is now available for iOS. The Google Plus, or Google released a Google Plus featured screensaver as a screensaver for Macs that features that draws their images from featured images on Google Plus. So if you want a kind of like a wallpaper a day kind of thing on your Mac as a screensaver, then that is now available there. Sharp announced that they'll be releasing new Star Wars themed smartphones with SoftBank. These smartphones come with 5.3 inch screens, Snapdragon 820 processors, a 22.6 megapixel camera, 3000 mAh battery, 3 GB of RAM, 32 GB of expandable storage, and are themed with the light side or dark side of the Force. The dark side of the Force has a TIE Fighter live wallpaper. The light side has an X-Wing live wallpaper. And then cases and UI and things like that are themed accordingly. So it looks like a blue for the light side and red for the dark side of the Force. So if you're on SoftBank or you want this sharp smartphone, then look out for that. SwiftKey themes on Android and iOS are now available for free. So if you do use a SwiftKey keyboard, then you can now get any of their themes for free. Just browse the store and install whichever one you like. And finally, Android Auto got an update to add support for OK Google. So if you want to do a voice search in your car with Android Auto, that is now an option. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's device review. So if you're subscribed on YouTube or on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/patella01, you will have already seen these videos. Or if you follow, you can relax and you would have seen the early post. But last week, I ended up ordering the OnePlus 3T as my brand new Android smartphone. So I was basically waiting to see by Tuesday if the Google Pixel XL would be available for sale. But it was not. And since it wasn't, I ended up ordering the 3T straight from OnePlus. I got standard shipping and all. I ordered the 3T case. I think it's the black, or I think it's the granite case, whichever one, the kind of the charcoal chalkboard looking cases. I ordered that as well at the same time. So I was expecting to get it this week, but somehow I ended up getting priority shipping. So I don't know if they are, basically the guys over at OnePlus hooked it up and I got priority shipping out of it. So last Friday I came in the mail and I was able to play with it over the Thanksgiving time off. And I did an early look at it, just playing around with it, looking at the UI, testing battery life and all that. So now that it's about 1 week in, I've gotten a general idea of how it works. A couple of the things I definitely like are that there's a Ring, Do Not Disturb, and Silent toggle on the left side of the device. So if you want to switch between the three modes, all you have to do is move the switch. It does have settings in, or various options in the settings menu. So for example, in Do Not Disturb, which who can contact you, what notifications come through, what events are you that you're reminded of in Do Not Disturb. So you can do things like only calls from your starred contacts can come through. I can be reminded of events and things like that, and that's it. And then Silent Mode allows you to basically turn your vibration on and off, and there's one or two other settings, but basically it mutes everything. The beauty here is that alarms will still work when your phone is in Do Not Disturb or silent, so you can still use your phone as your alarm if you want. As far as UI goes, it's a mostly stock UI. There's nothing much really to say here. You can rearrange some of the toggles that are available. Navigation is much like you would have on a stock Nexus or Pixel device. And the only real changes is whatever, a couple extra things that OnePlus added as well. So like things like you can have gestures on your when your screen is off. So if your screen is off and you want to open your camera, you can draw an O. If you want to turn on your flashlight, you can draw a V. You can swipe three of the fingers on your screen to take a screenshot. And then there's a thing called pocket mode that prevents accidentally touching your screen or fingerprint operations when your phone is in your pocket. So if the sensor is blocked and your screen is off, then your device will not know not to interact with anything. Its stock launcher is actually also very good. It basically provides a similar UI that like you would see on a Nexus device or on basically a Nexus launcher or a Pixel launcher. But it does have a page to the left, so it kind of does what the Quick Page does in Action Launcher, where you can set widgets and things like that. I don't think you can set, or I didn't see anything that said icons, but you can basically set widgets on that page. So if it's things that you don't necessarily need to see, or you want to have a page dedicated to widgets, you can stick them all there, or you can put a widget for frequent contacts or memos or things like that, and just have them on the side. There's also a toggle for on-screen buttons. So the device itself, which I didn't realize in the beginning, was that the device itself has capacitive buttons. So there's a fingerprint button, which doubles as a home button. And then it has a back button on the left and a recents button on the right. So just like the on-screen buttons, but in capacitive form. But if you don't use those or you prefer on-screen buttons, then you can turn those on. I kept them on for a while, but I ended up turning them off because with one of the features of the Oxygen OS on the 3T is that you can set additional options with the capacitive button. So things, for example, on my Recents button, when I double tap that button, I can launch my camera, or you can have, for example, long press on the back arrow to launch voice search or quick search or one of a few other additional options, but it provides those extra options if you want. So I don't have to have a special shortcut on my home screen, for example, for the camera or the gallery or things like that. And for example, as a means of differentiation on the lock screen, or when my screen is off, or on, if I'm launching the camera from my lock screen, it launches a stock Oxygen or stock OnePlus camera. But if I double tap my Recents button, I have it launched to the Google camera. So if I want some of the features that the Google camera offers that the stock camera doesn't offer, I can go into that and use those features. The 3T also now supports 4K video recording, so I actually tested out a quick video for that. It's pretty cool. I don't have any monitors or displays that support recording it, but it's a good idea. So, for example, the video I took was a quick 30-second video, and it was about 200 megabytes, so I think it came out to like 4 gigs for the full 10 minutes that you can record at any given time in 4K, so... there's that, and then I also learned that there is a 10-minute limit on 4K video recording, so just something to keep in mind if you think that because you have, for example, 64 gigs or 128 gigs of storage that you can record unlimited 4K video, but you can, of course, record longer 1080p videos if you so choose. And then there's things like front and back 16-megapixel cameras, which is actually pretty good. I like the auto HDR mode, which is pretty nifty. But and then you can also do proper HDR if you want it to always take HDR or turn it off if you want. It has panorama mode in the camera, so the usual stuff there. Other than that, that's pretty much straightforward. You get a pretty much Nexus or Pixel style experience when you're getting into it. You obviously have to turn on Google Now if you want. Sign into your various accounts like your calendar and Facebook and all of that stuff. But other than that, there's nothing really much else to say. It's a good high-end device, so Snapdragon 821 processor, 6 gigs of RAM. I ended up getting the black, or the model in black, with 128 gigabytes of storage, so I have plenty of storage if I need it. And then that's really the bulk of it. I mean, the one thing I do like is the fingerprint sensor, which I'm slowly learning that when the screen is off, quick tapping on the fingerprint sensor / home button will turn the screen on, so you can see what notifications are available, and then long pressing with your screen off on the home button will automatically take you to, or basically automatically unlock your device if you have a fingerprint sensor set up and no lock screen password. But if you do have a lock screen password and using your fingerprint sensor will directly take you to unlock your device. So I was wondering kind of what why it was kind of finicky as far as that goes, and that's kind of what I learned as far as my experience. So that's something that I actually didn't realize in my initial walkthroughs. I wasn't really checking for that difference, but now that I've seen that difference and I've found it, that's something that I have learned. So that's really all there is as far as that goes. I did really have the only other customization that I did after that was to install Action Launcher as my launcher, so I can have the shutters for my, I think it's shutters for the folder. So I have my quick, most often used apps as a folder cover, cover. So I have the most often used apps in those folders set up as the main app, and then every other related app behind it in the folder. Double tapping to lock my screen, swiping left to right to open Google Keep, swiping right to left to open my phone, and that's really the bulk of that customization. So it's pretty much worth it, but I think I've covered most of the what I found in the for the device in on my two reviews. I did a first look video, which I'll have linked to the show notes, and then I have the show notes a second video, which I did as follow-up to talk about the battery life and the on-screen button toggling. So battery life is actually pretty good. as well as on a side note. So for example, at 84%, it says right now I have 10 hours left, but my screen is on and I've been using it kind of regularly. So I expect probably around, I would say probably 12 to 15 hours of regular usage. Screen off time is actually really good, especially when, for example, you're sleeping. So I tested a couple of times where overnight, just not plugging it in, I started, I think, once at 94% and once a little bit lower, and I lost about 4 to 10% overnight, which is not that much. So if you have at least that, or if you have, you know, 50% or more battery, you can expect not to lose too much of battery. The quick charge is actually all they say. So it's, I don't know about the 7 hours of talk time in 30 minutes, but if you're at a low battery and you need a quick charge, like it claims, and you can definitely get that if you're charging, for example, for 15. Just give yourself 15 to 30 minutes, and you'll get that 15 to 30% bump in battery. So there is definitely that. So overall, worth checking out and worth buying if you want a good priced high-end Android device. So the 128 gigabyte model is $479. And the 64 gigabyte model is $439, I believe. And that one is available in rose gold. So if you are in gold, rose gold. So if you want that instead of black, then there is that option as well. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump right into the news. So to start it off, Netflix now has the ability to download shows for offline viewing. They're starting with a few shows like Netflix own properties and select other shows, with more rolling out next year. So look out for that. So it's a definite welcome addition for Netflix users. And actually, depending on their catalog, it might be worth getting as well. I currently only really keep Amazon Prime for The Man in the High Castle. They did have X-Files and Stargate SG-1, but they're not there at the moment. So depending on how long they're going to keep some of the other shows, I'm going to poke around and see if I like that more or less. But because I like the two-day shipping, I'm more keeping Amazon Prime for that as well. In related news, Amazon Prime added support for HBO and Cinemax add-ons. So if you want all of your HBO or Cinemax shows with your Amazon Prime account and watch them only through Amazon Prime, you can add those. As far as I saw, HBO is added on for its regular price of $14.99 a month, so nothing special there. I didn't have a chance to look at Cinemax, but you can get those two services now with Amazon Prime as well. As far as what I watched this week, I had a chance to finally watch Creed. That's the next movie in the Rocky franchise. I forget the kid who's playing the son of Apollo Creed, but overall it was a pretty good movie. I liked the, it was basically, as far as I could tell, a reboot of Rocky 1. So we have a kid who's down and out, he's in and out of jail and rehab. The wife of Apollo Creed takes him in. She's not his mother, but she knows that he's Apollo Creed's son. And then he ends up taking up the life of boxing, even though he tried, basically he doesn't want that, or he has another life in finance or something along those lines, but he'd rather go into boxing, so he follows his father's footsteps. I did end up watching Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 as well to compare, and it's kind of following the same path. Rocky has his job as an enforcer for a loan shark, and he decides that he would rather go into boxing. So basically Creed is a matchup of Rocky and Creed, and following up on the legacy of Apollo Creed. So nothing really much to say about Rocky 1, Rocky 2. I enjoyed watching it again. Just a good refresher of kind of a two-part, or just rewatching that. And I'm actually in the middle of Rocky 3 at the moment as well, the one with Mr. T playing Clubber Lang. So I think I'm going to go through and watch all, I might try and go through and watch all the Rocky movies again, just because I think beyond Rocky 4, I don't remember if I saw Rocky 5 or I think Rocky whatever the number 6 was, but it's been a while, so might as well. Otherwise, I also had a chance to watch Star Wars Rebels Season 3 Episode 9, the Win Cathu job. So here we have this crew of the Ghost teaming up with Hondo and Naka again. I also watched Westworld Season 1 Episode 9, the Well-Tempered Clavier. This is the second to last episode for the season, with the season finale coming up this weekend. But we finally learn about the backstory for the Ford's right-hand man, as well as who Arnold is, or who Arnold was, and basically the back end of how much control Ford himself has over all of the androids. So it was a very good episode. I thought I rather enjoyed it. We learned a little bit more about the Man in Black, more of the story of why Dolores wants to get and follow the maze, and where her storyline is leading, as well as the two guys who are or traveling with her as well. I also had a chance to watch The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 6, Swear. So this is, we see Tara. It was basically an episode about Tara. She finds a new hidden community called Oceanfront that's made up of all ladies, because all the men were killed off in a fight with what who they presume are the saviors as part of Negan's group. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 11, Beware the Green-Eyed Monster. So we have more about Bruce trying to find out about the Court of Owls. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returned this week with Season 4, Episode 7, Deals with Our Devils. So we have the fallout from the Ghost Rider's uncle going into the machine. We learn that he now has powers, so the repercussions of that, and more of the friction going on behind the scenes in the S.H.I.E.L.D. organization. And finally, Vikings also returned this week with Season 4, Episode 11, The Outsider. So the remaining episodes are the season and series finale episodes for the Season 4 of the show. So we have Ragnar returning to Kattegat and his desire to return to England. And the fallout and friction between him and his sons, and their plans for grandeur and advancing their name and legacy. So that's basically it for the bulk of the episode for this week. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, more elaboration, more questions of things like the OnePlus 3T or anything I watched or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. All links and episodes and all of that can be found at PatelN01.com. You can find this show or any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. And of course, all video reviews can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. But that's all there is for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.